Morning. It's hard for us to know, I think, sometimes how it is that we should term our salvation. And what I mean is that we're caught a little bit between the idea of making sure that we all know that Jesus died for me. And we emphasize that aspect of it. With the idea of making it clear that what's going on is something that is truly for me. God died for me. And that's something you and I all need to be reminded of from time to time. But it's also important to remember that he died for us. And that doesn't take away from the me part. But we are very much an us in the eyes of God. And how we fit in with the us is really very key to this growth that we are to, at least in some ways, find ourselves in the pursuit of holiness. That you and I together have a lot to do with our holiness. Our interaction with other people is where we learn a lot of things that help us toward this pursuit of being truly separate. If we're so focused upon the me part, like you hear people emphasize greatly, that the important thing is that you have this personal relationship with God. And I don't think anybody's going to debate that, but what do we exactly mean by that? And are we trying to, in some ways, explain that it's important that I have a relationship with God, and the relationship that I have with other people maybe really doesn't matter all that much? And none of us here believe that. We all know. We struggle with this, though, because we are people who are very different. Our DNA, the way we've been raised, the way we've been taught, all these things make us different. And how we relate to one another can be extremely challenging. And it's one of those things, I think, as we get older, I think it gets worse because our humility is maybe not as strong as it should be. We feel like we have a lot to offer to those around us, and we want them to listen to us. And so then when that dynamic becomes real, then sometimes there's conflict. And there's just the general idea of being disappointed with people. I mean, we're oftentimes very impressed and thankful for people, but a lot of our struggle with how we fit in the world is our disappointment with people. We really want them to be something more. Because we believe, and somehow that's going to make our life just a little bit better. But we're talking about holiness this morning. We're talking about the significance of the us, and the significance of the us as God put it. Because, again, we may think we can kind of go this alone. And you may think that, and that's fine, I guess, if you want to go ahead and think that. But that's not the way God intended for it to be. You may think because you're just a little bit more of a loner than other people that it's okay for you to not be so concerned about other people or worry about how you fit in with other people. Again, there are these conflicting things that make us a little bit schizophrenic about this. We know, as far as the world is concerned, you know, we really try to not fit in with what the world's doing. But on the other hand, there's this sense where we really do want to try to fit in with those that love the Lord as much as we possibly can. And I want you to notice these traits. Usually when we look at the fruits of the Spirit or fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh, we just pretty much focus upon our own personal behaviors. You know, here's what you're not supposed to do. Here's what you're supposed to do. The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. And most of that stuff we can sort of put aside and say, hey, that's not for me. I don't have anything to do with this. On the other hand, there's the other stuff that follows. Enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissension, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you. That those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, this isn't the first time I mention this, but I just want us to notice when you look at these sets of behaviors and you try to fit them into your interactions with the people around you, the world as it is. If you look at the ones mentioned in verse 20, these are the kinds of things that pull people apart. We might think of idolatry and sorcery as being something that separates us from God, and that would be true. And the things that are mentioned before that, immorality, impurity, sensuality, are things which focus upon ourselves. But then, of course, those are the kinds of things that then tend to separate us from others. When you look at these behaviors, the works of the flesh separate us from one another in a very general kind of way. And I would want you to be looking at those particular behaviors from that perspective. Not that these are sort of a list of descriptions that you put a little checkbox. And you put the check in. You say, okay, well, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing this. Without understanding why it is that God doesn't want these things. It's not just because they're bad. It's not just because in the work of the fruit of the Spirit that He wants us to be nice people. And this is how nice people behave. That may be true, but what's the effect of it? See, and that's where I think the key is for me, is understanding what's the effect. And that's where the us comes into this whole picture here. These kinds of things are the sort of things, the ones in verse 20, those are the sort of things that destroy the us, that separate the us. And when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, etc., etc., these are the kinds of things that draw us together. And God wants me and He wants you and I to think about how we fit with one another. And it's important to understand how that's going to help not only my own holiness, but the holiness of others. Romans 14, it says, accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. Now, that's the issue as it arose and as it's described in Romans chapter 14. But there's also great emphasis here on the word acceptance, and that is the learning that I have to do to learn to find ways to accept people. And that means what's included in that is accepting the idea of the us. I mean, he's saying there are going to be people who are going to have things that they're not going to agree on, if you will. Certain things of matters of conviction. And that must be recognized, and I must allow that. And at the same time, realizing that I may truly believe that I've got it figured out, and I know how you ought to do this or that. But I've got to also work with you in the idea of accepting you. It's not my role as a preacher to find what's wrong with you and pick on it. Nor is it the role of the elders to do that. That's not their job. Their job is to encourage the us. My job is to encourage the us and to promote the us. In 1 Corinthians 14:16, they're talking about how one would utilize these miraculous gifts of the day. Otherwise, if you bless in the Spirit only, how will the one who feels the place of the ungifted say the amen? In other words, you're doing something that's a blessing to you from God, but people can't understand what you're doing, so why are you doing it? How can people say amen if they, in a sense, can't understand you, since he does not know what you're saying? For you are giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not edified. So, the us. Now, it's very easy, and I hear people do this all the time. Well, I really don't need people. It's not a matter whether you need them or not. That's not the issue. I suppose on the various scale of trying to understand what that means, we're all. Some of us, though, are not very tolerant of other people. And we don't want people getting in our lives. We don't want people getting into our business, whatever it is. It's really not an option. It's no different than trying to keep peace in the family. You understand the differences that are there, but you do the best you can to maintain a certain level of peace. Well, that's the way we are to fit in with one another, is to promote the things that make for peace, Paul says also in Romans chapter 14. Because I recognize the us, that the us is important. It's not just me showing up here. Some people look at the church as a place where you go, where you can do your worship thing. Yeah, there's the things you're supposed to be doing, so you got to go somewhere, so you come here. You violate your conscience or violate your beliefs and certain truths about worship if you go somewhere else, so you take your place in the seat, and this is your role. That's just not really true. This isn't just a place for you to fulfill some sort of responsibility to God. It's a place where we come together to fulfill a relationship to one another. That's what they're being told in Romans 14. Behave a certain way. Yes, if you have this particular gift that allows you to know that God is using you in some way, well, don't use it unless it's going to affect people in a positive way. Don't forget the us. Just notice some of these things, the way things are worded. And this is something that always strikes me when I start working with an idea. But I'll just notice the way things are said, maybe in a little different way than I ever have, because of the emphasis I'm trying to make from the lesson, or for the lesson. In Ephesians 2:19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't just mean that you're a part, you know, that person got baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, so that's your brother or that's your sister in Christ. That's not just what it's talking about here. You're fellow citizens. You share in citizenry. And you're part of something that's bigger than you. You are of God's household. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. So the idea of my recognizing the us part of it, that you and I are being built together, we're being fitted together, is helping what? It's growing us into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Do you see the emphasis here? I'm sure you do. It's that when we are in Christ, we are connected to other people, and then it presents us the opportunity to interact with other people, sometimes not for the good, sometimes for the bad, but nevertheless, we are a part. We are a part of one another's lives. That's the way God intended it. So it's not enough just to study your Bible and show up to Bible class and maybe correct an error that somebody else makes or enhance a point that somebody else makes. And I'm fulfilling my role. That's part of it. But think about it, Galatians chapter 5 and the fruit of the Spirit. That's also a part of it as well. In whom you are also being built together. That's all the people who are being added to Christ, particularly in the church at Ephesus, into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Peter put it in a slightly different way. Coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also are living stones, the plurality, are being built up as a spiritual house for holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We together are a house. We're stones in a house. Each stone plays a significant role. This is discussed over in 1 Corinthians 12. But the important part is understanding the emphasis that I'm trying to make here. The emphasis I'm trying to make here is that fruit bearing requires other people. If you look at the things that are listed here, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, generally it goes on and on. I'm telling you, you can't do that by yourself. Don't pretend that you can do that by yourself. Don't pretend that it's an option for you because maybe you don't get along with people all that well. Is that a curse or something or what? Seems to me it's just as significant as the importance of coming to here and being an example to one another. As we gather together, and we have guys who stand up here and make this comment often, that we're here to encourage one another. And part of encouraging one another is we partake of this together. But when you look at these particular traits that are mentioned here, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control, those are things that have to do with how I relate to other people. It doesn't necessarily fit in the partaking of the Lord's Supper. I hope we can at least understand that. We won't try to grab at something here to say, oh, well, that, you know, we're explaining to other people our sense of who we are. Well, that may be true. But in order for me to be able to be a person of peace, a person of patience, a person of kindness, goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, it must happen in the context of the us. So we're trying to get holy together. Yes, individually, I'm trying to do the best I can, and you are as well. But you just can't cut other people out of it. To do so is to be, in reality, disobedient to God. And yeah, some people are just a little bit better at connecting with people. No, there's no argument there for me. But I will say this. To be a person of patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, you don't do that by yourself. There's no way you can do it by yourself. And there's no way that you can excuse yourself from that. I have my idiosyncrasies. I have my little nuances of ways that help me to go through life. Some of them are good and some of them are not so good. But it's wrong for me to use that as some sort of a way to sort of write off my behavior toward other people or even interacting with other people. There are certain things that I've just got to overcome. There are certain things you've got to overcome. You have gifts that are enhanced in many, many situations, and you and I have the opportunity to be the us that's helping other people to be holy. This was so important to Paul. I mean, I'm not totally sure just how divided these people were in Ephesus, but they had their problems. And you remember the first half always saying, here's what we believe. Let's not forget what we believe. Here's our relationship with Christ. We all share that. Now here's how we fill in the blank. Here's what we do. So at the conclusion of the section that talks about what we all believe, he says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. So we're all part of the creation. And that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. There's that plural. May not be that significant to you. It is to me. Talking about how we all are who we are. And how we interact with one another. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend what? With all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and height and depth. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Comprehend with all the saints. For what purpose? Just so we can say that we agree on the basics? Is that really what God wants? A group of people that understand the importance of our worship to God and it being according to God's word? Is that what ties us together? Or is there any more to it than that? See, that's the part, you know, to me, which comes very easy. Because I can sit there and sing by myself. I can be respectful when someone else is praying, or I can pray myself. I can partake of the Lord's Supper. I can be polite and listen to whoever is doing the talking. That's the easy part. The hard part is recognizing that it's my responsibility to interact with you in such a way to help you be holy and for you to really have it the goal of you're doing that for other people. See, a lot of times we believe that, well, tell me what I'm supposed to do, or at least inform me of it, but I'll be checking others to make sure they're doing it. When we're young, sometimes we get impatient with the older ones. When we're older, we get impatient with the younger ones. But in both of those classifications, it requires that we show understanding of the place of that individual or recognizing various groups. That's the glue that you read about in Galatians 5, which are the fruit of the Spirit. He says, I want you to comprehend with everybody what is the breadth, the length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. I want you guys to all, as a group, Paul is saying, to understand what it is that we have and what it is we possess. And then how I have a relationship with other people and interaction with other people. Yes, I'm trying to be holy. You're trying to be holy. But we're also trying to do it together. And to do it with a recognition of the differences that we have amongst one another. The personality differences that we have. The age differences that we have. And that's not always that easy. Because the young get impatient, the old get impatient. And nobody has a right to allow in any way the divisiveness of the works of the flesh to be somehow dominant, because it's what's necessary to get your point across. So how do relationships bring growth into our lives? Well, the whole idea is presented to us in Ephesians chapter 4. I guess it's not unusual to notice that a lot of this stuff comes out of Ephesians. Because, again, maybe I think it was something that was so much a part of their very core that they needed to know who they were. Yes, I know you're from this walk of life, you're from that walk of life. I understand that. But here's who you are. Here's who the us is. And so, to promote the us, this is what Paul says God did. He gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, there's the individual aspect of it, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. But again, notice what it says. For the equipping of the saints. I don't think it's an accident that he speaks in the plural here. That the whole idea is what those apostles and the prophets and teachers were to do were to promote something amongst those of us who are a part of a group. I mean, Jesus, you know, he probably would have been a much happier, and I use this in a very physical kind of way, you know, if he didn't have to have those 12 apostles all around him asking stupid questions. Or behaving in ways that, you know, just wasn't really what's best. Jesus always knew what was best. But he was also incredibly understanding of where these guys were. And he worked with them with incredible patience. Because he not only had individuals that he wanted to save, who wanted to have the light that we read about and are memorizing in John chapter 1. But to be something that is a force together. Because we get strength from that. Because we get built up by that, as it says here in Ephesians 4. So, all of these things, why do we have the church? It's so we get equipped. To do what? To be holy. My job is to help you be holy, vice versa. That's the way it works. That's what we're here for. And learning to where, you know, you may be crossing the line and you need to learn to just be quiet. I'm not sure that I know exactly where that is. But I know for a fact that it's more often best when you show restraint in that regard. Because when you look at what is stated there in Galatians 5, those works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit are things that are not demanding. It's put upon me, it's incumbent upon me to act in a certain way that shows my willingness to not just be what other people need because I have what the answers are. Because they need my advice, but because they need my love, they need my patience, they need my gentleness, they need my kindness. So what happens as a result of that? He goes on to say, if we've got this stuff here that's helping to keep us holy, the idea is to help us be holy. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves. We're going to grow. We're going to become, if you will, more holy. Carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, but craftiness, or by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him. And here's that we thing again. But somehow we're in this together. For all that it challenges us. For all that it asks me to be something I really don't want to be. And I don't want to be made to feel uncomfortable because maybe of certain things that I don't like and other people do. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. And it's we're doing this together. He could have said, speaking the truth in love, you as special individuals are to grow up in all aspects. He could have said it that way, but what did he say? He said, we. There it is again. You got to put up with me. I got to put up with you. I have to learn to show gentleness and kindness to you. You have to try to do the best toward me. That's part of the journey to holiness. From whom the whole body, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. It's all about our connection. According to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. There is this sense of being twined together, working together, thinking things about Christ together. And what comes as a result of that causes the growth of the body, the whole thing. Is it important that you and I grow as individuals? Absolutely. But the whole body also needs to function in that way. And that's what he intends. That's why you and I are part of an us. That's why we are a we. What am I doing to promote the we? How do I do it in my own private life? How do I do it in my family? I mean, I'm trying to realize that what I think about a lot of things is really not, I mean, it may be important, but it's not important to a lot of people. And that's okay. I can still be a person of peace, gentleness, and kindness. And I can still speak the truth in love. There's a way to do it and there's a way not to do it. That situation in 1 Corinthians 12, which again, we draw, I think, a proper inference from this, is that we have to accept the we. For the body is not one member. See, it's not just one. It's not just about you and what you think about this or that. We're a whole body of parts. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, if I'm not a part, I'm not a part of the body. He's thinking, well, maybe he's just not that important, that part. It is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for the reason any the less a part of the body. And this is showing the importance of every part. I mean, I think sometimes we get this confused. We think the way you show yourself in the congregation is by being a leader. And that makes you valuable. That makes you important. I don't think that's true. I mean, that's just like saying, well, I am a leader and you're something else, and so you're not as important as I am. Is that what Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians 12? Absolutely not. You don't have to be a great leader to practice the fruit of the Spirit. You don't have to be rising to the top of whatever group you happen to be in within the congregation, whatever it is. We put far too much emphasis on that. We are part of a whole and we all have a role to play. And what Paul is saying here is don't get the idea that you're more important than someone else. I don't care who you are. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? See, it's all important. It's all essential. Why? We're a we. We're a lot of different individuals with some in our own way have kind of unusual ways of going about life. But I'm a part of a we. You are a part of a we. And how do you connect with those in the we? Do you practice the attitudes of the flesh, which are much more personally divisive? Or do you do your best to be the one who is practicing the fruit of the Spirit? Again, in Ephesians 4:16, the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. Each individual part, what does that do? It promotes the growth. It causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So I guess it's what I think all of us have to do from time to time. We have to ask ourselves, what am I promoting? How am I helping the we? We are all part of different families in this congregation. We have connections that are very, very powerful. But that cannot be the highest of our priorities. I don't think it excuses me from not being a part of this we or this us, because it's so much essential to the way that we develop as people. It's what the whole idea of the local congregation is. It causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That is so important. Paul describes it over in Colossians when he says words that I think help me to understand that the more that I'm impressed upon myself the importance of being part of a we, then it also gets me closer to other people. Are you getting closer to others? You maybe feel a little bit uncomfortable around other people, or you don't really want to be. What is it? I don't know. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement. I apologize for those letters in the parentheses. I always think I've got rid of them all, and somehow they, I don't know, the devil just takes care of the whole thing just to get me distracted. Taking a stand on his visions, he has seen inflated without cause by his flesh and mind, and not holding fast to the head, for whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Yeah, you're growing as an individual. I am. But I'm also a part of a we. And it's not the way I choose to be. That's important. It's not up to me to define how I am going to connect to the we. It's up to me to let God decide that. I know my connection with the we is going to challenge me to be more than what I probably feel comfortable being. I know that for a fact. But that's the way it all works. So if we realize that we're holding fast to the head, other people are not encouraging to do us. That's what Paul says in Colossians 2. But the rest of us are a part of the entire body, and we're held together. It's not your job just to have your little war and battle of holiness. For me to be concerned with my holiness and how I'm growing. I mean, I realize it's the thing over which I have the most control. But I'm to be what I can be to you, consistent with the fruit of the Spirit. And approaching it with I think, a fair amount of humility. When we're a we strengthen one another. In Ephesians 6, Paul's talking about the armor of the individual. He says, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod with your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I'm wanting to help you with that. You're wanting to help me in that regard. The strength of our faith is something we want to share with one another. It provides good opportunities for learning. I didn't put any passages here because, I mean, it's just the whole New Testament is about that. Paul communicating, encouraging others to communicate the truths of Jesus and then how we are to be. And so what happens is the more I'm around you, the more you're around me, we create opportunities for us to learn from one another. It's not a matter of you saying, well, I don't need anybody. You've heard me say this before. I don't care whether you don't need anybody. God doesn't care. It's not your choice. He made you a part of a we, and you're stuck. You know, I don't mean that in that sense. But it's something that tells me I got to be more than what I'm inclined to be. And so as I'm around you and you're listening to me and I'm listening to you, I get a chance to learn. I get a chance to grow. Provides accountability. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Encourage one another. Hebrews 10:23, most of you are aware of this passage. Let us hold fast. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Not if you happen to be good at it. It's what I'm asked to be. And this is a challenge. Overcoming our basic personality is almost at times feels like it's just a winless battle. But I have to be a person who is interested in the we, interested in your holiness, in the hope that you are interested in mine. So this isn't a matter of choice. This isn't a matter of opinion. You know, we get a little caught up in these. That's, I know, one of those things I talk about, you know, that, well, that's not exactly a doctrinal matter, is it, Randy? That's not like partaking of the Lord's Supper. You tell me, does it sound any less important in this passage? Does this sound like, hey, don't worry about this. This is just all a matter of opinion, you know, blah, blah, blah. God doesn't really expect this out of you. Get here, take your place on the bench, you know, put your money in. You're good. That's all I expect of you. So sad, isn't it? Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. It couldn't be any more clear than that. It's not optional. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I am a part of an us. I'm a part of a we. So then in Colossians 3, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and peace. Sounds a little bit like fruit of the Spirit. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint. These things aren't there accidentally. The given is we're going to have to forgive people from time to time. Meaning, you know, something's going to happen that's going to be bothersome to you. It's going to upset you. It's going to upset me. But I'm a part of a we where it says, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Talks about the significance of the same idea in Thessalonians. He says, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive this from us, this instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. God is pleading with me to realize, Randy, don't limit yourself. Excel. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That right from the get-go, from the beginning, the importance of this verse for me was just to say, right from the beginning, when you're set apart, sanctified, I learn how to possess my own vessel in sanctification and honor. And therefore, part of that, Romans 15, is therefore accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. I hope we all can understand the heart that I have for you. the heart that I have for the we and the heart that I have for the us, and realizing that we're all struggling in the same way. The difficulty of being a part of it. And realizing that God is asking me to challenge myself to not be what I'm inclined to be, which is to think about me. What best works for me? What is I'm best suited to do? We are all a part of an us. We are all a part of a we. Yes, we have a personal relationship with God, but it is not preempted, or it doesn't preempt my importance to be and recognize that a part of having that relationship with God is that I take on the challenge of the we. There you go, Larry. So think about it, will you? Think about who you are as a part of the we. Think about how you can more actively be a part of the we. Not exactly be a great leader, but just be a part of the we. Touch the lives of other people. Help other people get holy. And learn about yourself in a way to where that will in turn make you, even if you're not getting everything you think you need from others, you're going to grow from that. You don't have to be consistently trying to practice the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't really have much to do with what people are doing with you. It has to everything to do with what I am doing with other people, promoting the we. Thank you again for your kindness and listening to what I have to say on this subject. Yeah, we're a family. But what does that mean, really? I am a part of you, and you are a part of me, just as God intended for it to be. And He knows exactly. Jesus knows exactly how difficult it is to be around us. But He did it. And I will never accomplish what He has any more than you will. And I take on the challenge, though, of knowing all these emphases to the we and the us and the our are important. And it should stimulate me to want to help and want to be a part of the we in such a way to where we are growing together in holiness. It's not just a bunch of individuals pursuing holiness on their own. It was never intended to be that way. Be a part of Christ. Outside of Christ, there's a lot of struggles here trying to be what God wants. But if you're outside of Christ, you're totally lost. You're just separated from God, and I can't help you really. So you make the decision to say, you know, I'm going to take the step to be a part of a we. And it starts by putting one's faith and trust in Christ and realizing it's only through Him that you or I mean anything. And then all of a sudden, I start thinking about other people. Not about how they're not living up to what I expect, but what can I do to display Christ in their lives and to help them in this grand pursuit of holiness. Become a child of God. Be saved. We invite you to come as we stand and sing. Larry?
God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Though there's a joy with earth to fail, God will take care of you. When danger fits your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. God will take care of you. God will take care of you.